Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I so appreciate all of those that are singing in the choir. The choir has been ministering to us, and then all that are participating in the special music, and then those that are sacrificing to work in the nursery and the junior church ministries. And it's just a blessing because we could not be able to get back to normal services without having those willing and ready to work and serve the Lord in those different areas. And so we surely appreciate each and every one of you. Matthew chapter 7, on Sunday nights we've been going through and preaching on the teachings of Christ, And from the very beginning, as we find when he was a 12-year-old boy, and the message we received from that. And then, of course, now he has got the disciples, he has called them. He is on the mountain, and he's preaching chapters 5 through chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. I believe it's one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in the Bible, and for New Testament, for us to understand just how Christians ought to think, how Christians ought to act, and what we need to be aware of. And so I trust that that is something that's been a help to you and that you have been looking at that and reading ahead and reading behind as well. But the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we looked at chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, and the two paths of life. Two paths of life. And there's checkpoints along the way. Checkpoints that we still face the very same decisions to go the way of God, and that is a straight and narrow, or to go the way of the world, which is a very broad and easy entrance. The straight and narrow gate, and then we find there's an entrance, that's the entrance, and then a narrow pathway. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. And then we find, and that's something every checkpoint, you're making that decision, and you need to find God's will in every one of those checkpoints, and every time that you face a decision that's going to be life-changing, whether you're going to serve God or you're going to be the person that God wants you to be or not. And the world's going to, the old devil's going to try to get you to go in the wrong path, but God would have you to go on that through that straight and narrow gate and to the entrance that is a narrow pathway. And then the wide gate, of course, is the entrance, and broad path is the way of that entrance. And many find that because that's where they're destroyed. That many find destruction in going in that direction. Well, that's what we preached on last week, verse 13 and 14. It's no coincidence that it's followed by the warning that we're going to be looking at here tonight. Beware of false prophets, those that are going to give you the green light to go in the wrong direction. And the Bible has much to say about that. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. Beware of false prophets, chapter 7, verse 15, and we'll read down to verse 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again tonight, thank you for the holy word that we have before us. We know it's true. We know you have written it down. just as we need to read it and study it and receive it. And so I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again this evening, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament had a great influence on people. And the reason for that, in the Old Testament, the children of God even did not have direct communication with God. Jesus Christ enabled that, as we looked at somewhat this morning with the New Covenant, the New Testament. But the people did not have direct communication with God. God would speak through prophets. And the people would have to discern whether the prophet was a good prophet or a evil prophet. If he had God's word or if he had the words of man. And it was a little more difficult for them to find the truths and be led in the direction that God wanted them to go. Christ came and gave full revelation. I love that. In the New Testament, we have all the revelation from God that we'll ever receive this side of heaven. God has given it to us. He's written it down and promised to preserve it for us. That's the Bible. It's a full revelation of God. So as we think about this warning tonight about beware of false prophets, prophets in the New Testament are actually preachers. Preachers preaching the scriptures. They're not proclaiming any new revelation. If you find somebody wanting to proclaim a new revelation, mark it down, that's a false prophet. Because we have the full revelation. And prophets today that have the gift of prophecy is actually preachers that are to preach the word of God. Matter of fact, in the book of 2 Timothy, and familiar to you, so let me just read it to you. You can write these verses down, study them later. But 2 Timothy in chapter 3, as Paul's writing to young Timothy, a young preacher, Timothy, in chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, everything that God has brought to us from Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament Bible, okay, from the prophets and the law that God has recorded and preserved, was inspired. God inspired the prophets, and he told them exactly what to prophesy and what to say. All scripture. And then it goes into the New Testament, that God used the different ones. It was the Spirit of God that led them to write exactly what God wanted them to write until the end of the apostolic age, when we had the completion of the Word of God. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. When you hear the Word of God, this is what's happening. When you hear the Word of God preached from a man of God preaching the Word, this is what's happening. Okay? It's coming from God. It's profitable for doctrine. You're learning in the doctrines of God. You're being reproved. You're being corrected. You're being instructed in righteousness. And we have this, so the man of God who is going to preach the word of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, all the works that God has for him to do as a true preacher or true prophet, if he is the prophet of today, preaching the word. I charge thee, Paul writes to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. He didn't say just preach. What God wants preachers to do today is preach the word. What people need today is the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, begins with the day of the Lord we preach on this morning, the end of time. For the time will come, and it will get worse and worse as we get closer to the end of time, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves false prophets or teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's false prophets. That's a false preacher. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And so you can do what you want with fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. What's the work of an evangelist? Preaching the word. Make full proof of thy ministry. So we find here that Paul is writing to Timothy and he's revealing to him the importance of the word of God being preached in this New Testament church age. If we go back into our text here tonight and the next lesson that Jesus is teaching the church, believers, through the Sermon on the Mount, is that there are signs of a false prophet and there are signs of a saved prophet or a preacher that is of God. And he says in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Their fruits. So the fruits that God reveals are very important to us. Understanding that, because that's how you can tell the difference. That's are the things that you look for. And making sure that we are not being influenced by false doctrine, false teachers, false prophets. So this, again, as we bring it back now, it begins Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, this next lesson, after he talks about the straight and narrow and the broad way and telling us that you're going to make decisions on which one of those directions you're going to go. It's the prophets in your life, that's who you listen to in your life, that you will, who will direct you in the paths that you will take. And so he says, beware of false prophets. If Christ said beware, and it's the teachings of Christ, I think we ought to take it seriously. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Take it even more serious, because we have a greater need for the truth. It's always been a problem. Even the Old Testament, because it was the false prophets that led Israel into captivity, because they were telling them that the way they were living and what they were doing was acceptable to God. And they would say, I heard from God, and this is God's message to you. Continue to live the way you're living. Do what you're doing. And Jeremiah, the true prophet of God, come along and he says, no. The way you're living is going to lead you into captivity. It's going to bring upon the judgment of God upon your lives. Repent and get back to living as God would have you to live. Amen. And so we find this warning even in the Old Testament, that Jesus knew that that was part of the scriptures that they would be able to learn from Old Testament prophets, and at the same time apply that to New Testament preachers. Jeremiah chapter 5, I love, because Jeremiah was one of the prophets, the true prophets of God, and he continued to preach the truth and never seen one revival. Because there were so many in his day that were false prophets, and the people wanted to hear the message of the false prophets. They didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. They didn't want to believe what Jeremiah had to say. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priest, the other position that would represent the word of God, bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? My people, because they wanted to believe what the prophets were preaching or prophesying, even though it was wrong. It's what they wanted to hear. Like having those same itching ears. They wanted to hear people tell them that what they were doing and how they were living was just fine. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 23, if you go on in, into the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 23 in verse 13 and 14, he says, "And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal." In Baal. They brought a false god into their prophecies. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. They introduced a part of Baal worship to go along with part of the worship of the true God. Not understanding, not hearing that God is a jealous God. He's not going to share his position with any false gods. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, an horrible thing. They commit adultery. What do you expect from a false prophet? For him to really not have any kind of conscious conviction over what he is telling the people, he's immoral in his own life. He is out of touch with God's will for his own life. And that's what we're seeing. This is what Jesus warns about in the Sermon on the Mount. But he goes on to say here, I've seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They strengthen the hand of evildoers so that they will not repent. You'll not repent of something that you don't think's wrong, that you don't have conviction over. If you're not preaching the truths of God's word, there's not going to be conviction. If there's no conviction, there's no repentance. If there's no repentance, there's no blessings of God. Yeah. That none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. A wicked city that had got so wicked in their imaginations and all the lifestyle, the God rained hail down from heaven and destroyed it. Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 13, let me finish with the Old Testament here in this. Ezekiel chapter 13 in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Ezekiel, the prophet of God, son of man, prophesy against the prophets. A preacher is to preach against false preachers. Prophesy against the prophets, of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophecy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Telling the people that they heard from God and seen things, and now they're telling the people that this is God's direction for them. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedges for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divinations, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. They lied. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And the false prophets led the nation of Israel into captivity, the judgment of God. So with that as a background, understanding that we have been warned in this New Testament church age, we have been warned in this Sermon on the Mount, the new covenant that God has brought to us, don't make the same mistakes. Beware of false prophets. Verse 15, the Bible says, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They appear as being sheep. You might not be able to tell a difference in their looks. Now, some you can tell the difference in their looks. But there's others that you cannot tell a difference in their looks. You might not even be able to tell a difference in the language they use, because they know what sheep expect to see and they know what sheep expect to hear. And they show you what they know you want to see, and they tell you what they know you want to hear. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, we find that Paul warns of this as well, and he makes something clear that we need to be aware of concerning false prophets. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, in verse 13, it says this, in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. This is during the apostolic age. Those that would actually speak the very words of God, it's before they had the Bible completed, and so they would want to present themselves as speaking the words of God, as false apostles. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You can't go by what you see. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In 2 Timothy, he tells us something that goes right along with that in chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Can I tell you that there are some false prophets that don't even realize that they're false prophets? There's some pastors that are not even saved, but it's their livelihood. It is religion that they are focused on instead of the words of God and being a shepherd. A pastor is an under-shepherd. And they're telling the people what they want to hear. And they're false prophets because they've been deceived by maybe somebody in their lives, and they don't even realize they're false prophets, but they are prophesying falsely. They are preaching things that are not Bible. And they are persuading people, because of the name Christianity, that it is all right for them to do what they're doing and live the way they want to live and go the direction they want to go. And that will continue to get worse and worse, so much the more as we see the day approaching. We see the day approaching. Apostasy led by the false preaching of preachers. Ephesians in chapter 4. There's much in the, it's throughout the New Testament. but especially what Jesus was presenting there to us, knowing that it's real. In Ephesians in chapter 4, in verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Even though the Gentiles now are part of the family of God, they can get saved, but in this apostolic age, it's saying, be careful, because not all the Gentiles are wanting to get saved and live as God would have them to live. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." That's a very confused individual right there. "Who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work on all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." If that's what's going on in your, if you don't have the right thinking, you have not learned Christ, but you have been led astray by false doctrine, false teachings. Jesus said, beware of false apostles. And then he says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And then he goes in to say, do they gather grapes of thorns? If you're getting grapes, you're not having to mess with thorns, because thorns are not a part of a vine with grapes. Figs are thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Now, the tree is the prophet. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So we find here they are corrupt. These false prophets are corrupt, and they produce evil fruit. Evil fruit is poisonous, and evil fruit will hinder the cause of Christ, because it's evil and it's not good. It's of the devil, it's not of Christ, but it's out there. And there's more and more that are being persuaded to receive it and to live by it. False prophets are not shepherds. They're ravening wolves. And some don't even realize it. But ravening wolves mean that they are looking to prey on the sheep. That means they're not looking as Christ being our shepherd. They're not looking to being the shepherd to the sheep that God wants them to be. And they're preying on the sheep as hirelings. John chapter 10, Jesus presents some of this. He realizes as he's teaching them that there are others that are leading the flock astray, and he says in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Another shepherd has the heart of the shepherd. He's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling," that means he's doing it for the wrong reasons, "and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep." The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I believe that's a lot of what's going on today. And I think it will get worse and worse as we see the day approaching, because there's going to become more and more false prophets leading the church to be pleasing to man. Wow. I don't know if I should say a whole lot about this, but can I tell you that even on what so many so-called Christian denominations and who they would support, and who they would vote for, and what they would support, that's not Christ. Every born-again believer is here for one main purpose, to represent Jesus Christ to the world. The whole idea of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, they were to represent the Creator God to the world. And they had to be different. They had to live by different standards. They had to have a testimony that the world would see there was something different with the nation of Israel. And it was not the people. It was not just the Jews. It was the God of the Jews that made them different. And today it's the very same thing. We are here to represent Jesus Christ to the world. How can we support that which is against Christ? So many are being led astray in denominations by the leadership, because how could a preacher be wrong? How could my preacher be wrong? There's false prophets. Beware of false prophets. But there's also the saved prophets. Verse 17, if you go back there with me, and I'm not going to be much longer here, but verse 17, even so every good tree, representing that prophet, bringeth forth good fruit. That which is going to nurture, that which is going to feed, that which is going to strengthen. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So this good fruit, they are presented as a good tree that is producing good fruit for God. I love that, because they'll be here. But it's a choice of the people who they listen to. It's a choice of the people as far as what they want to associate with. I trust that you understand why you're in a Baptist church tonight. You're in a Baptist church listening to a Baptist preacher because you're wanting to hear the Word of God. And you understand the doctrine that the Baptists hold on to. The Bible makes me Baptist. You hear me say that quite often because that's what's most important. It's not the standing for Baptist, it's standing for the Bible. But as I stand for the Bible, I realize the denomination today that is best standing for the truths from the Word of God is the independent, fundamental Baptist church. Need to know that, because that's a start. Sad to say, not every Baptist church has a good prophet. And usually around the country, when you hear of some kind of weird actions being taken and going on, snake handling and all the different things, it's a fundamental Baptist church. And they're all the same. The media, the... yeah. Wow. A good tree produces good fruit for God. Let me give you three thoughts on fruit, because that's where it comes down to. Verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And many will say to me in verse 22, Jesus says, and many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's talking about the prophets. And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work, living in sin or in iniquity. You're not setting the example. You're not preaching the truth. Three thoughts on the fruit. First is purpose. You look for the purpose of that so-called man of God. What's his purpose? What does he think his purpose is? In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. First of all, you need to be in a church where God has given you peace about following the leadership of the church. And not following the leader in his own personality, in his own direction, but you have confidence that the leader is leading you to follow Jesus. I met with a couple of different families this last week, and I gave them the four things that I tell people when you're looking for a church. The most important thing is the doctrines of the church. Most important. Make sure that the church that you're being influenced by has the right doctrine. And the second is leadership, because the leadership of the church will determine the personality of the church, because the leader of the church is doing that, just that. He's leading the flock. And you lead the flock through example and through the preaching of the Word of God to get the flock to follow the Scriptures and the direction that God would have us to go. And so I have to have confidence in the purpose of the one that is preaching the Word. Is he living for self or is he living for Christ? Is he glorifying himself or is he glorifying Christ? Is he looking to God or is he looking to mammon? That's the purpose. What Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 5, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, in verses 1 through 3, the elders which are among you, which are the pastors of the church, I exhort whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. That's your purpose. That's what preaching the word does. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, leading the church, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Going into the ministry, money is not the thing that will entice you to go into the ministry. And you don't do it for filthy lucre. You don't do it for mammon, because you're serving God and not mammon. But a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. I never have wanted to be a lord over anybody. I'd just soon sit back and let other people do whatever they can do. But God tells me as a pastor, he's called me a position, give me the insight into the Word of God that I am to lead according to the Bible. And feed the flock of God so that they will have an understanding of the Bible and have a desire to go in the direction that God wants us to go in. You do it through preaching. You do it through opening up the Bible. And people are being fed. And when you're coming to the church and you're being fed the Word of God, you're more apt to want to live by the Word of God. And you're more apt to understand the difference between the true prophets and the false prophets. The truth that is being preached and the lies that are being preached. Yeah. The purpose. Being ensembles, living examples to the flock. Going into the ministry, I knew that me and my family would live in a glass house. I welcomed it. I still do. If I'm trying to hide something, there's something wrong. Being an example, hopefully, that people can learn from and follow after in every area concerning the qualifications of a pastor. It's a glass house. But all Christianity, your house should be a glass house. Your life should be a light and the salt that God wants to be. Should have nothing to hide. The purpose. The conduct is fruit, because conduct will influence. Purpose will influence. Conduct will influence. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, and I'm almost done here, but it's a warning that Jesus has given to the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. Paul says, for I seek not yours, but you. My conduct is not trying to take from you yours, but I'm seeking to help you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents. Children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Isn't that something? And that does happen quite often. The people you seem to put the most in and love the most are the ones that can hurt you and hurt you the worst. But you don't do it for them. You do it for Christ. And so you keep doing it. And you keep spending and being spent for Christ. Because that's conduct, that's fruit. And then lastly, and one we've already touched on, but message. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, Paul gives us a tremendous testimony as far as the message. The message that is presented from the true prophets of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That's what he came to preach, the testimony of God, the words of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what they needed the most. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He relied upon the Spirit and the power of God to accomplish what he had to accomplish. For 40 years in the ministry, I've relied upon the power of God because I know that in me, I can do nothing. But God, yielding to God, then can accomplish some great and mighty things through Christ. But I have to make sure that I've yielded to him. Saturday night's my prayer closet. It's to prepare me. The message, I already have it. But Saturday night, it's preparing me, focused on you, to be used of God. And sometimes I feel like a failure afterwards on Sunday morning because I think, I know it was from God, but did I present it as well as it could have been presented? And sometimes I beat myself up over and over again thinking I should have said this or shouldn't have said that. And my wife beats me up and tells me you shouldn't have said this and you shouldn't have said that. No, she's an encourager. She's an encourager. My daughters, on the other hand, they tell me. But it's what God's chosen to use today. And the message has to come from him. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdoms, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And when you're producing that kind of fruit, you're equipping sheep to accomplish what God has the sheep here to accomplish. So the Sermon on the Mount said there's two different directions, and you make the decision at each checkpoint which you're going to choose at this point in your life. And most of the time, it's through the influence of prophets and preachers that will direct you in the right way for the rest of your life. At every checkpoint, that you have to know the difference between a false prophet, false teaching, and the truth from God's word. That's where we're at tonight. The Sermon on the Mount. Beware of false prophets. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I love it. Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. Jesus is establishing his church and presenting to us things that we need to know in order to make right decisions and accomplish the right things for the cause of Christ. An invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God might have spoke to you about. God spoke to you tonight and you have a decision that needs to be made. I mean, encourage you to make it, whether it's here in this auditorium or for live streaming at home. Do it right where you're at. Commit to a life of serving and representing Jesus Christ. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you and thank you for the truth of your word and thank you for the warning of this passage of scripture. And I pray, God, that you would help us all to be strengthened by this and be wanting to leave here to live the very way that you have for us to live and receiving the blessings of that close relationship with our Heavenly Father. Work now in our midst, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.